Welcome to this podcast, exploring participatory advocacy in the Our Voices 2 Youth Advocacy Project. The Our Voices 2 Project is coordinated by the International Centre, researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire in the UK, and is funded by the Oak Foundation. As part of the Our Voices 2 Project, the International Centre is working in partnership with three national NGOs in Europe: Different and Equal in Albania, the National Center for Child Abuse Prevention in Moldova, and TINA in Serbia. Each organization is implementing participatory advocacy activities in their respective countries with young people affected by sexual violence. The Our Voices 2 Toolkit was written for adult facilitators from these three NGOs to help them support young people who are current and former service users to design and plan an advocacy campaign on sexual violence against children. The toolkit is divided into four sections. Section 1 looks at how to create a safe space in a group setting. Section 2 explores sexual violence. Section 3 focuses on children's rights and children's participation. And Section 4 is concerned with participatory advocacy. In this podcast, I speak to Helen Veach from the International Centre, who has over 25 years' experience of engaging young people in advocacy activities. And Helen produced Section 4 of the toolkit that looks at advocacy. Helen will talk about how the advocacy section of the toolkit was developed, the types of activities that youth advocates and facilitators took part in, and some learning and feedback from the process. So hi, Helen, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Duffy.
Could you start by explaining how the advocacy section of the toolkit was developed?
Sure, yeah, the advocacy section was developed in reference to two key guidance resources on participatory advocacy that were produced by the International Save the Children Alliance. So the first was a participant's guide, and the second was a facilitator's manual for a project called Advocacy Matters. And the advocacy section of the toolkit guides facilitators through the process of designing an advocacy program with young people. It's the final section of the toolkit, but it starts by exploring with youth advocates what participatory advocacy actually is. And then facilitators support youth advocates to identify the advocacy issue they most want to work on.
Great, thank you. And could you define what participatory advocacy is?
Well, we really liked the description of advocacy as speaking truth to power. Mm. In fact, I heard Greta Thunberg recently using that phrase on TV in a TV interview recently. So I think it's becoming more popular. Mm. And this is because it focuses on challenging people in power to change their beliefs and actions by communicating the lived experience of those who are demanding the change. So in our case, it puts children and young people with direct experience of the issue of sexual violence at the forefront of advocacy.
Mm. And how do young people identify a good advocacy issue?
Well, we did this by helping youth advocates to map services for their peers. So this is children and young people affected by sexual violence, in order to identify gaps in service provision and any potential issues that could be addressed through advocacy. Then we used a relatively common participatory activity, which is called the problem tree and also the solution tree, to explore with youth advocates what the best advocacy issue is for them to work on. So once that's decided, and we felt it was really important that young people made this decision, what the key advocacy issue should be. Once that was decided, facilitators then helped the youth advocates to design an advocacy campaign around this issue. And this design process involved setting goals and objectives for the advocacy campaign, identifying opportunities for the campaign, such as events or meetings that might be relevant to the advocacy issue, and coming up with a timeline for the campaign. It also involved doing stakeholder mapping to identify who to target. then developing campaign messages and exploring the possibility of campaigning online or face-to-face lobbying of decision makers. And here we encourage facilitators to make use of role play. So asking youth advocates to practice pitching their campaign messages to decision makers.
Great, sounds like a very comprehensive process. So do youth advocates undertake every aspect of the design process for an advocacy campaign?
No, actually, the toolkit suggests that facilitators undertake some of the more technical or time-consuming aspects of the design. Mm-hmm. And we felt that those didn't make use of advocates' direct experience of sexual violence. So, for example, we asked facilitators to undertake policy and power mapping to outline the steps and develop a visual map to illustrate how policy decisions are made in each country context. And this made use of facilitators' knowledge of the policy environment in which they work, which youth advocates don't have so much experience of.
Yeah, that makes sense, yes. So the partners in Albania, Moldova and Serbia ran sessions with youth advocates in early 2019, and a workshop was run in Albania with the facilitators from all three countries in June to get a picture of how the toolkit was implemented. Could you explain the feedback that the team had from facilitators on how it was to co-produce an advocacy campaign with young people?
Sure. I mean, the most interesting thing we found was that all three groups of youth advocates working separately came up with the same advocacy issue of first conversations. Mm. And what they meant by this in terms of first conversation was that it was the first conversations they had with professionals, such as teachers or police or health workers, about their experience of abuse. So in Albania's case, they focused on first conversations with police, but in Moldova and Serbia, youth advocates identified a range of professionals that they had these first conversations with. And youth advocates in all three countries felt that these first conversations with professionals had a big impact on their lives. So, for example, in Moldova, youth advocates came up with a kind of campaign slogan based on a quote from one of the youth advocates who said, "The action of professionals matters, and the destiny of survivors of violence depends on this." So all three campaigns aimed to improve these first conversations so that professionals don't stigmatize children and young people who have experience of sexual violence, but instead respect them and in particular believe what they are saying and offer appropriate support to them. Mm. So that was the first and the sort of biggest issue. Some of the other learning from this process was that facilitators explained that advocacy is quite a hard concept to explain to youth advocates. They found it easier to explain through examples. So particularly examples from their own country, but also examples of international campaigners such as Malala, the girl from Afghanistan who's campaigning on girls' education, and Greta Thunberg from Sweden who's campaigned on climate change. Another issue was that facilitators were all surprised that there was very little disagreement between youth advocates on the advocacy issue they most wanted to work on, which was first conversations. And another surprise for facilitators was that youth advocates were so motivated by the campaign that they did a lot of homework outside their facilitation sessions.
Oh, great.
So in Moldova, youth advocates spoke to the professionals that they were in touch with and asked them what kind of messages would influence their behaviour. And that really made a difference to the messages that they eventually produced in their campaign. And in Albania, the youth advocates produced problem trees and solution trees for other campaign issues, just to make sure that they'd selected the right advocacy issue. And finally, facilitators also felt that it was appropriate that they, as professionals working in the field, gathered evidence to back up the campaign issues that the youth advocates had identified, So in Serbia and Albania, facilitators found that there was very little research in the country on first conversations. So it was, they found it useful to consult with their colleagues to gather evidence because of the lack of research.
Great. That's really, really interesting. And it's really interesting to hear that all three groups of youth advocates selected those first conversations as the key aspect to tackle in their advocacy activities. It's also really interesting to hear how motivated the youth advocates were, despite, as you said, advocacy being quite a difficult concept initially to explain. And it sounds like there was some really effective collaborative working between the youth advocates and the facilitators. So as this is the last podcast in this series exploring the Our Voices to Youth Advocacy project, can I ask you where listeners might be able to get more information about the toolkit and about the learning from the project?
Yeah, sure. So we've developed a series of briefing papers which give an outline of the different sections of the toolkit, along with some of the some examples from the activities and references to useful materials and resources. So we're currently analysing the data from the Youth Advocacy Project, and the learning will be shared via the Our Voices website in the coming months. I don't know whether you want to share the actual address of the website.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the, so it's our-voices.org.uk. So you can visit the website to access and listen to the other three podcasts that also give an overview of the Youth Advocacy Project Toolkit. So they provide an overview of different sections of the toolkit. So thank you so much, Helen. Really interesting talking to you. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast.